The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising and marketing. Welcome back to Breaking and Entering Brand Side. And don't get us wrong, we love talking to agency folks. That's why we've interviewed over 200 advertising agency professionals, and we'll continue to share their stories, but not today. On this episode of Breaking and Entering Brand Side, we nerd out a bit about a brand I am especially passionate about. Shure. Shure microphones, Shure Incorporated, the best mics in the world, audio equipment in the world, hands down. Garrison Kratz joins us today in the office. We recorded this live on Shure microphones, of course. And he talks about his role as a global media relations associate manager at Shure Incorporated. Garrison dives into the essence of his job, which involves coordinating product launches, press releases, and engagements with influencers and press to ensure successful product introductions and sustained interest. So he's got that PR background. So we'll talk about also how he emphasizes the uniqueness of working at Shure, his interactions with engineers directly in-house, which is so cool, and a broad spectrum of talented customers, which he finds incredibly rewarding. So before Shure, S-H-U-R-E, Garrison gained valuable experience at Ketchum, which is a PR agency, where he handled multiple clients across different industries, very similar to an ad agency, but PR focused. His passion for consumer brand marketing, particularly in consumer technology and audio, led him to pursue his role today at Shure. And he followed a former colleague of his as well. So we talk about the importance of networking, staying connected with industry professionals to navigate your career transition. And what I love is his journey from Ketchum to Shure talks about the power of combining your growth with your passions. We see this quite a bit now as we're recording these Breaking and Entering Brand Sides. They're following their passions. And now he's got this fulfilling career. And like I said, we record this on Shure SM58 mics. And I personally think everybody should buy an MV7 podcast mic if you want to do this, you're streaming, or you just want to sound better on Zoom meetings. You can reach out to Garrison directly. The link is in the description to his LinkedIn. And I'm doing this thing. If you leave a 5-star review and write some nice words on Apple Podcasts, I am offering up 15 to 20 minute discussions for quick advice, portfolio reviews, or to help you network. Just got to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Now on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Brand Side Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Let's see if this is working. Garrison, can you hear me okay?
I got you.
How do our waves look?
Waves look good.
All right. Garrison Kratz. Is that how you pronounce your name?
That is right.
All right. Garrison Kratz, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, in-person edition. We're live here in the studio in Havas, Chicago, and I'm so grateful you're here because you really helped figure this thing out.
Yeah. Happy to be useful. Thanks for having me, Gino.
This will be fun. Because you are a global media relations associate manager at Shure Incorporated. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. We make microphones and other things.
The best microphones.
Yes. That's true.
Easily the best microphones.
I think that's fair.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely the most popular microphones in the world. The ones you see on most stages. Yeah.
Most stages, every podcast that you see out there. We're on. What are we rocking right now?
We're on the SM58 microphones today.
So maybe a little bit different of a usual sound, because I have been rocking, and we're looking at this now, MV7, correct?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a USB microphone, but also has an XLR out. So you can put it right into a mixer, use it for live stage setting, recording stuff at home, but also just plug it into your computer, use it for a conferencing mic. It's sweet.
It is the best mic. Entry level to experts, you can plug it with the USB. It's what I've been using. A lot of my interviews have been on Google Meet and just recording off that. So that's been really helpful. So we might nerd out a little bit here.
Yeah, we got to talk about some audio stuff.
Yeah, we definitely might nerd out. Maybe we'll do like a bonus section of like how to start a podcast. What are the fundamentals? Yeah. What are the basic pieces of equipment you need from Shure?
There you go. That sounds good.
Cool, man. But
I'm interested in your role, and we've been friends for a little bit, connected on LinkedIn for a while, and you've been in Chicago this whole time. So yeah. You're here now. Want to know more about your role as a global media relations professional. And what does that mean? How you got into this? You know, so let's start with what your role is today. What do you do at Shure?
Yeah, so we have three people at Shure who help lead our global PR division, our media relations division. Essentially, we help prepare every single launch and communicate our press releases, anything that's going to be facing press, going to be facing influencers. We review and work with the marketing teams to pull together. So let's say there's a new product coming down the pipeline. We'll work a year in advance, making sure that everything's aligned for that launch, and ensure that we'll get coverage, ensure that there will be interest, make sure things are accurate. And then, you know, after the product launches, there's, you know, a continued sustain, always on sort of push to everything too. So we're working with folks all across the world in our marketing division, and across the entire company, quite frankly, which is very large. So it's a super exciting role, really dynamic. I get to talk with so many amazing engineers and marketing professionals all the time, and especially our customers who are some of the most talented people on earth.
Right. It's so, and you're passionate about audio. You got into this for a reason. So I definitely want to talk about that as well, on how you broke into this, because you were at agencies before and you stumbled your way in. Is it true that you have a band or maybe multiple bands?
Oh, happy to plug it. Yeah, I'm in multiple bands here in Chicago. One is called Jean-Claude and the Eclairs. It's an indie pop band. I'm playing with them since college.
Jean-Claude and the Eclairs.
And the Eclairs.
Nice.
Yeah, long name. We didn't realize our music would kind of blow up on the internet.
What instrument
we made
do you
the name.
Play?
I play the bass in both these bands. And I'm in this other band called Damager. It's like a hard rock act.
Can you be in two bands at once? Does the band A get mad at band B if you're, you know, it's like cheating on them?
That's between them to figure out.
Sure.
But yeah, no, most musicians play in multiple projects, you know, like at some point it behooves you, especially as a bassist, to be playing in multiple groups, because you want to be able to like find new talent and build your skill set. And it's fun to play different types of music too.
Yeah.
Like I think it'd be really fun to play in a funk band. That's kind of the next like fun thing, like dance funk stuff, playing bass.
You play on the weekends, like do you get gigs and stuff
that? Yeah, we're playing gigs a few times a month, if not more. So
nice.
Things get busy, especially in the summer. That's like the crazy time for gigging.
Where have you played?
Shuba's Beat Kitchen.
Nice.
In name of Chicago venue. We've played it. We haven't played Lincoln Hall yet though. So if they're listening to this, I would love to play that venue sometime.
We'll make sure.
Yeah.
And back to like your role at Shure, I think we have very similar roles. My role at Havas is communications. Your role at Shure is communications. So I resonate with you. Who are some of those like key trade publications that if you get a headline in X publication with Shure in it, like what's a big win for you?
Yeah, that's a great question and actually a pretty loaded one, because we have so many products across so many different markets. There's ones for like podcasting. And so who I'd want to land for podcasting might be like Rolling Stone. I'd love to see them talking about our microphones. And even stuff that we use for the stage too, but then we make some of the most like high tier, high tech wireless microphones and wireless equipment in the world that you'd see. Like every stage of Lollapalooza will be using our wireless gear. And so how do you find the right reporter who can talk about that from a technical perspective? And those are the stories that we're really trying to find. Something where like there's a reporter who can talk about that in a way that's appealing to the general reader, but they at least understand the technology enough, you know, to be informed, right?
Got it. And plus, I mean, now TikTok, which is something that we're neglecting to be on, we need to be more on it. And I definitely want to get your consulting after, but there's so many TikTok clips where you see the MV7 on the clip and you see like celebrities basically endorsing your product and they recognize it. I'm always looking. I'm curious what influencers, what celebrities are using. So I'm looking at that and I see Shure 95%+ of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually the crazy thing is we're not doing a lot of paid around that. We'll work with some specific artists and influencers and folks who are creating, but a lot of this is happening organically. The SM7B, which is, I would say, the most famous podcast microphone in the world, came out 50 years ago. And like, it didn't come out to an initial large, great reception from customers. A lot of folks were only using it for broadcast, and that market at the time wasn't massive.
Got it.
But then Michael Jackson, he sang
on
it, the Thriller.
Yep, I was going to bring that up.
And so all of a sudden, it became very interesting for people who were recording in studios. And then with the advent of like social media and people being able to create content so easily on their phones, on the go, on their computers, all of a sudden, folks were looking at that microphone as the one that they should gravitate towards. It's at the right price. It's definitely more expensive than some other microphones on the market, but the quality speaks for itself. I mean, it gives you that broadcast vocal that you're looking for. And also, I think it's just a spectacular look on, like, it gives you a sense of credence, a credibility.
When
you're on camera. So yeah, it's been exciting to see it just kind of explode. It is bigger now than it has ever been in the entire history of the microphone.
And for that, what's the elevated model called off above that?
Yeah, it's called the SM7B.
And do you need like a cloud converter or something? Don't you need like an accessory if you want to do it like within the Scarlett, right? Isn't there something that has to like elevate the audio or something?
Yeah, so that can be true. It really depends on your gear. I'd say if you're going to go out and buy the SM7B, call our customer service and see what other gear you might need. But yes, it is like it is designed to be what we call a very gain hungry microphone. Yeah. So it's relatively quiet and then you pull up the gain and that's really what's able to capture that broadcast quality sound. But over the last, so in October, we released a new microphone. It's a sibling to the SM7B called the SM7DB. And what that does is it puts what we call a preamp. So you talked about cloud. It puts a preamp inside of our microphone and makes it louder on its own. You don't need to go out and buy something else.
DB.
Yep, the DB. DB for decibel. So like your loudness, right?
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
So it just makes it super easy if you're looking to invest. You haven't bought an SM7B yet. You don't have an audio interface. Get the SM7DB. If you already have a good audio interface that you know will give you enough volume, then maybe go buy the SM7B. But for someone just getting into it, the SM7DB makes it so much easier to just get started and sound great.
Wow. I didn't know that. I have to look that up. And I just love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
I can talk forever about it. Yeah. We'll get to the professional stuff too. But
yeah. And you can tell that you're passionate about this. And it's something that aspiring advertisers kind of... I also bring up when I go talk to schools or they LinkedIn message me or get on these call with aspiring advertisers, marketers, PR professionals, journalists. They go, I want to start an agency for 2-3 years and then go work and do music or opera marketing or the local lyric opera or whatever it might be.
There you go.
And I always go, well, why don't you just kind of jump towards that right away? If you know that you want to break into your passion point, like what's stopping you? Why do you have to make that pit stop to an agency?
Sure.
And I kind of want to get your take on this because you did a little bit of agency experience at Ketchum. You were there for 4 years, which is a hefty amount of time.
It's for an agency.
Yeah, that's a good amount of time. So did you, I guess, understanding that, did you feel like you had a need or it was essential to start off in some sort of agency capacity when you graduated?
Sure. Yeah. I think what you'll find is folks in the market who are going to hire PR professionals, they'll often be looking for somebody who has agency experience because to them, it proves, it's kind of like going to college again.
Yes.
It really proves to them that you understand what you're talking about, that you've worked on a lot of different clients. You know the pressure that PR can put on a team and you also know where the value is. So I think overall, it's definitely valuable to go get that experience if you can. If you feel like you can bypass that in some way, then more power to you in doing that. But I do think that the agency experience is often a requirement to get an in-house job that's truly meaningful.
Right. So is there anybody on your team maybe below you or you've heard stories of people above you that just went right into this, right at Shure?
Yeah. There's no one who just went, like I don't work with anybody who just went right into working at Shure unless they were going through our internship program and those are mostly engineers. The marketing side of things, I would say like my manager is fantastic and she has more of a PR mind than I probably do and she never worked at an agency. That being said, she like worked in a PR role for another in-house company. It was like an architecture firm. So she had some experience before coming to the company. Again, that being said, like there's nothing stopping you if you have a very clear direction and vision for where you want to take your career. Nothing stopping you from pursuing that. Don't feel like you need to go to agency. But I think it's worth noting that there are a lot of opportunities that open up to you having that experience.
I agree. But if you are super passionate and you can somehow like start tracking right away, like and people start networking with you as a junior, they get an internship potentially or something like that.
Totally.
It makes it a little bit easier, I think, if you have that North Star. Not every student knows that. They know what their passion point is. They know that they can go for it. So the agency route is still like that boot camp that people should go through. There's no experience like it. You're going to experience so many different clients. They're going to throw you in the fire. You're going to be stressed for a little bit, and then you're going to start to get it.
Yeah.
When did you, so at Ketchum, you went from intern, fellow?
Yeah, essentially an intern, yep.
And how'd you get that?
Yeah, so they have a fellowship program. I do not know if they still have this, but...
We see those are kind of like disappearing, I feel like. It's just like with post-pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we had to do like this... it was this game. It sort of simulated social media a little bit, and you had to write blog posts and communicate with people. All the other people who were applying for the jobs were also on the same like social platform, and you had to get the most likes, and you had to be the top of the leaderboard. And I was top of the leaderboard. So that's how I got my interview. And that's not even, like, it doesn't guarantee you anything.
What is this, like?
Got you. It was called Launchpad or something.
Squid Games?
Yes, that's what it felt like. Oh, it was, yeah. Not a big proponent of it. I didn't love it. But I did it once and I didn't get it. And this was my junior year. Then as a senior, I did it again and I knew the game, right? I knew how this worked.
They didn't change it up?
No. Yeah, it was just like the exact same game. Well, there were some different prompts.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the component... The basics were still there.
Yeah,
you had to get the most likes. Only one, like the top few people.
Sure.
Got the fellowship.
Yep. So what I knew going in the second time is that all that matters is being the first. I think we see this on social media too. So it sort of is true. But like if you were the first person to have your thoughts down on a blog and you were the first person published, everybody would like you because they got points for liking your blog post or something.
Oh.
So yeah, just being first meant everybody who logged on, they'd like my thing because they'd see it first. If they read it or
early adopter, right?
Yeah.
I guess first to it, first mover, whatever you want to call it. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, early bird gets the worm. But
so you did that. You didn't get it your junior year because you
you
didn't win the like game.
Well, I didn't realize exactly how it would work. And then once you get in there, so I feel like I feel bad for the people who were just doing it for the first time.
If you like this, I'll Venmo you $5.
People tried that and then they got their blogs taken down. Or people would
That's
be like
BS.
Really crazy headlines like, see cute pictures of puppies. And then they, yeah. And they would get taken down too. So,
I'm not gonna. It's good that people kind of are aware of this.
Yeah,
I don't know if agencies are still doing this, but
I'd hope not. But I mean, I think there is something to be said about like going in and actually showing your writing skills and
yes.
like your thought process. But the interview is really like knowing someone will often get you an interview,
right?
And that's where it's important to do, Gina, like what she did before. I think we met before you even started working. At an agency and you were reaching out, talking
yep.
about your podcast, this podcast, I think that's the most valuable thing you can be doing because people need to know you and trust you to be able to like put your resume in front of HR.
Yes. I read Arnold's book. I forgot what it's called, but there's like this component in it where he talks about selling your vision and telling the world. I always thought you had to wait until you had like everything ready and you were like perfect. To tell people about whether it's a podcast or your band or you're applying for a job, you have to kind of like he was saying in his book that you have to start communicating your vision and people will either see it or not, but that's okay. So I definitely resonate with that. I think that's really good advice. So
yeah, that's a really good point too.
You knew somebody and then you went through the game process. You didn't get it your junior year, but then you got it your senior year graduating.
Yep. Yep. It worked out to be persistent.
So you senior year. You're going into your senior year.
Well, no, actually, wait. Yeah, I said that wrong. I guess my sophomore year, I didn't
get it. Sophomore year, going into junior, didn't get it. Junior year, but that's a big one. Junior year, going into senior year. We're seeing now at creative agencies that a lot of the interns are a lot older. Like here, we've had 30-year-olds that were changing careers, and we've had them as interns. We're seeing seniors that have just graduated, especially for the creative track. Not all the time, but we're seeing that more and more so as I'm talking with people that seniors that are just graduating are getting internships.
Got it.
And then it's like a job interview.
Sure.
The company should, if in that case, have the full frame of mind to hire that person, after, though.
Yeah, I think that's typically what agencies are doing.
Yeah. That's a good little heads up. So you got in after that.
Yeah.
This fellow for nine months? Is that legal?
Yeah. So what? Well, that's how they kept me on. So I had to go back. So it was after my junior year. I had the internship for that summer, and then they didn't want to go through the whole process of essentially rehiring me, but they knew they wanted to keep me on. So I finished my last semester working part-time for the company, and then they brought me on full-time after I finished college.
So you must have done something really well during that summer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember I had one of my favorite mentors, and I need to reach back out to her because I haven't talked to her in a while. Her name is Melissa Kinch. She was the head of the practice that I was involved with while I was there doing PR.
At Ketchum.
At Ketchum. And I remember one day she walked up to me and she gave me a book, and she was, this is like my second week into my internship. She gave me a book and she was like, "Hey, like, I need you to read this book and give me a synopsis so I can talk about it with whoever she had a meeting with like the following week." And so I read this like 400 page book and wrote her like a 4-page paper about like what exactly was in it, so she could at least be knowledgeable about it.
Sure.
It's just things like that. Like I really felt like I was pushing myself really, really hard, and it really paid off for me. And I was just excited to be working with some of the most talented people I've ever worked with in my career. So, and I didn't want to miss out. Like, there are so many opportunities to work on cool clients when you're at agency. But it comes down to kind of proving yourself early on.
Yes.
And working really hard, putting the hours in. And I would say that in general, that typically pays off.
Yes. And it's super important. Want to hover there. If you do get an internship at an agency, PR, creative, media, whatever it might be, show up every day. I think that's my view. Show up if you can, and physically show up every day. Get there a little bit early, stay a little bit late, because why not? I don't know.
It's
a little controversial, I feel like, sometimes, but...
Yeah, look, I'm not like a grind set person at all. Like,
I kind of like it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I appreciate that mentality, especially when it comes to your job. Like, especially when you're starting out, like, figure out what time your manager shows up, arrive 25 minutes before them, and then when they leave, stick around until your manager leaves, and then like work a little bit longer. Make sure everything's like, every T is crossed, I is dotted.
Yeah, like if you know you have to do a summer class and you want to like, you know, stay an extra 20 minutes and write that discussion post like in the office if you don't have anything to do, right?
Sure.
Just being there and being available is super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also my advice to people just starting out, especially with an internship, is just constantly be asking for work if you don't have it.
Can I help?
Yeah. And then set expectations too. That's the most important, like later on in your career becomes very, very important. But make sure that you're saying like, okay, what's the deadline? Like what do you expect this to look like? Get examples. Just make sure there's clarity whenever you get a project. Because the worst thing that can happen in an internship is that someone senior to you doesn't give you clarity on something, and then you provide something that's below the standard of what they're looking for. You want to make sure you're always hitting the mark like every first try. So very important that you're like, again, pushing for clarity, asking for deadlines,
yes,
Make sure you have all the information.
That's tough to do though, because of, you know, deadlines and deadlines are shrinking. We see budgets are shrinking too. So the speed of which you have to move, whether you're an intern or full-time employee, the rate's getting faster and faster. So if you, it is good to take a moment to clarify and understand that, but they also know that they're probably moving pretty quickly.
Yeah. Deadlines are fast. That's why, again, if you don't know that something's due end of day because they don't tell you, and then they ask where it is.
Right.
Like, how are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to meet that?
Yeah. I love that. So you did that and you stuck around to catch them, and you were doing public relations. And how many clients did you have at a time?
At some point I had like 7 clients. I would not recommend, but I think it's valuable to try out a lot of different things at agency, especially early on. And Ketchum allowed me to move around to different industries and touch a lot of different clients. And I sort of found where my passion was. And I really loved consumer like brand marketing, especially like technology, consumer technology products. And that really aligned with my interest in audio. And whenever we'd have like an audio client come in, they'd always put me on the pitch team, or I'd be in some meetings.
Right. Vocalized that you were interested in the audio sector, right?
Totally. Yeah. I think everybody sort of has their passion points, and there's no harm in trying to push for opportunities in those passion points, because you'll be a strategic benefit to your team because you know a lot about the background, or like, you know what bands are cool or what's hip or what technology people are looking for.
Right. And it's more credibility to you. You stand out. They will leverage you more. You can be more available. I think it's a great visibility tool as well to talk about what you're passionate about and try to incorporate it.
Sure.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So you were there for 4 years. And then at what point, you know, you found out this passion? What point did you realize, it was time to jump away from the PR agency world?
Yeah. Well, there were a bunch of life changes happening for me too. I got married.
Nice.
And then also, so about a year prior to that and to me switching jobs, one of my colleagues, his name's Dane, he's great. he actually made the jump over to Shure, and then I just kept in touch with him, right? Like, I, at the time too, I was also sort of running a side business, making some money on the side, working for some freelance stuff that's specifically tied to music. I mean, my goal at the time was like, how could I potentially just do this full time?
Music.
Audio PR, music PR, consumer tech PR. And I had some like local clients who were really great. But I knew that like if I could work at Shure, I'd be able to do it full time.
Right.
So I just kept in touch. Like, Dane was a mentor for me during that time. We'd do like monthly, every 2 months, a phone call just to talk about, you know, what it would take potentially for me to do something on my own and run with my passion. And as soon as the position opened at Shure, he reached out to me, and the rest is kind of history. I'm really, really lucky to have the position I have. There are a lot of people, I'm sure, who apply and like want to work at Shure. It's an amazing company. So I'm super grateful for that and for, you know, the time that Dane took to mentor me. And now it's still great to be able to work together. He does corporate communications and I do our brand PR, but we're still very much a cohesive unit. So overall, yeah, great place to work. I honestly cannot talk enough about how good of a place it is to work.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, you saw somebody, a mentor of yours, and you stayed in touch.
It's the
fundamentals here that are super important. Staying in touch. You said 1 to 2 months you would have a call,
sure,
or just a text or a LinkedIn
text,
message.
Reach out.
Yeah. How you doing? How's Shure? Sounds cool. It looks really cool. Love what work you were doing. Simple stuff like that, right?
Totally, totally. And like the stuff, it will come organically too. Like, I know at some point early on in your career, it's kind of hard because you don't know everybody very well. But once you've worked on a campaign or you've done something at an agency with these people, that's the other point too, is everybody at agency goes and they find new agencies or they go in-house, and keeping up with them is super important for your career, especially if you maybe want to follow in their footsteps. So,
right. So even if you don't like where you're at agency wise, be careful and like put on a positive attitude and work hard, because somebody might jump and remember you.
Exactly.
And then you want to better your chances of working with them wherever they go.
Yeah. And like, I loved working at Ketchum too. It was a great experience. And as I said, like, mentors like Melissa Kinch and others were super formative for me in growing how I view PR and what the value is and what I do. I didn't study PR. I studied marketing. So I learned a lot from all of those folks. And then it was like a natural time to jump into the thing that I am truly most passionate about.
Got it. What do you love most about PR at Shure?
Yeah. So working at an agency, the one thing that you don't always get visibility to are like the product marketing teams, the product development teams, and the engineers who make like all of these products possible. And working in-house, I get to see all of that.
Right.
And I get to talk to like the most genius people I've ever met in my entire life, designing things that I cannot even pretend to understand that then go into our products and quite frankly change the world in how we communicate. I mean, sure, you think about Shure and you see a microphone, you think about singing or a podcast, but in reality, what we're doing is we're connecting people. And there are a lot of people who are very passionate about that mission. Like, we are the people who allow communicators to communicate, and for art to be created. And so that's really just like, it's an amazing place to work because of that.
I freaking love it.
Nice.
My favorite gift I've ever gotten, I remember I was like a toddler, and the best gift I ever got were these two walkie talkies. And eventually one only worked. Mm-hmm. And then eventually that one died. I lost the other one.
Yeah.
And I would walk around with a walkie talkie growing up and just like kind of talk into it. Maybe my parents thought I was a freak. Maybe I am, but I guess like that was kind of laddering up to this vision or this reality now where I love talking into microphones.
Yeah.
I see a microphone anywhere and I think there's so much potential. And I think that it's so fun and is always Shure, of course. So I don't know. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to be heard and to be able to make your voice.
It got me where my job today. It got me my first job, my second job, now my third job here.
There you go.
So, and I'm not too worried. Like, you know, from the podcast, using the mic and putting my voice out there, it's given me like a lot of confidence, a lot of connections, meeting people like you. It's brought me close to some of the most amazing agency professionals in the world. So I have some emotional ties. I love it.
There you go. Yeah. I think a lot of people have similar stories. That's really cool.
Heck awesome. Yeah. I hope people like kind of are inspired. I'm always telling students, like, at least start a podcast or a blog. Like, no matter what you're passionate about, even if you don't know if you're an expert or you're just learning something new, document the process and your progress along the way, because you never know where it will take you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So what's next for you? So You're at Shure now. You're on the global media relations team for the brand, not corporate communications, mm-hmm. you mentioned.
Yeah, we definitely tie into each other, but specifically, I'm the one who's launching our products.
That's so
cool. Yeah.
What's launching next?
I can't tell you.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry. Damn, I wish I could, but I would lose my job.
This will probably launch in a couple months.
Yeah.
After April,
you haven't
maybe?
Signed an NDA yet. Otherwise, I would. There's some cool stuff. I think we're always working on new and innovative things.
Yeah.
I can tell you about some of their most recent stuff.
Yeah.
That we've put out.
Let's hear it.
So the SM7DB is really cool.
I gotta check
that out.
It's got
the integrated preamp. Yeah. Again, it makes it like super simple.
Over that one?
The MV7 is different. So the SM7DB only has an XLR out.
Okay.
So you would still need to plug it into an audio interface to get it to go into your computer. But then, yeah, the MV7 is also really cool. We put that out. That's a kind of a crazy story, too. They put it out, and then the pandemic happened. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about the perfect work-from-home microphone. Because it sounds...
one we're talking about?
Yeah, the MV7.
MV7, yeah.
Yes.
That was like 2020-ish.
Yep. Yeah, so it has a USB out, can go directly into your computer. And so
really
all of a sudden, this microphone just absolutely blew up. And then there's a software component, too.
Yep.
So that's really where there's a lot of added benefit. And I think a great story for us on the software side, like you can go in and change things and make, this isn't the marketing speak, but like basically idiot proof. Like you can change it so that it will like change the gain and volume settings for you.
I love it.
Yeah. And so you don't have to even think about it anymore. Just put the microphone in front of you, plug it in. You're going to sound great.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing online and like you said, Zoom meetings, anything like that.
Yeah.
Or if you're streaming video games.
Yeah, I mean, streaming's a huge market.
Yeah.
Yep, that's one. Two, we're trying to make sure we're making inroads there and working with influencers and creators in that space too.
That's so cool, man. I mean, and it's fun because it's a really good product. It's the best in the market. So it's not easy, but it makes your job a lot easier.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And having those experts, I like that too, going in-house and you can go talk. Like, you need to understand like this new design capability or this new output. You can go talk to the person that made it potentially.
Sure.
So what else do you want to talk about, Garrison? I think we covered a lot. We covered, you know, we didn't talk about where you went to undergrad, which was...
University of Kansas. Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk, Jayhawk.
There you go.
They're good this year, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
football,
good every year.
Getting better at football too, so that's always a benefit.
We talked about how you got into Ketchum. We talked about getting into Shure. And maybe what we can do now is kind of record. We could pause this if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about like what the basics are. Would you be able to speak about the basics of like content creation, what you should get from Shure?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Then we'll pause there.
Okay.
I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
We'll wrap this one up. How can people reach out to you if they don't listen to the bonus section?
Yeah. Find me on LinkedIn. Reach out. I'm pretty responsive there, so I can definitely get back to you. There's also publicrelations@shure.com if you ever have any questions about gear or otherwise. You can reach out to me. More than happy to talk you through to any career advice that I can potentially give you, things that would get you into what you're passionate about. I mean, I'm passionate about audio, but I love hearing from people who are looking to create a space for themselves, or anybody with like an entrepreneurial spirit who's doing like a podcast or creating things.
Yeah.
It would just be great to hear from you.
I'm sure if they have a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send me your music. I want to hear
Send
it.
Music.
Then, I'll send you mine.
That's awesome. Well, Garrison, great job. Thank you for coming on. Well, this is brand side, actually. This is breaking, entering brand side because you broke into brand side.
There you go.
So thanks for coming on brand side. Thanks for telling your story in the PR version of brand side. I think is really interesting as well. So I want to read this newsletter that's on your LinkedIn, conferencing newsletter too.
Yep. I'm always sharing stuff.
Rock and roll. Thank you, Garrison. You did a great job.
Thank you, Gino.